She was warned.
Shut up and smile.
She was given an explanation.
Don't spread your
Nevertheless,
lips.
She persisted.
Ooh, I could do that. I can't keep quiet.
That was Milk with Quiet, featuring Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor. This is K-Voice, a voice of resistance on the Crab Diving Network, as another voice to discuss resistance in all its forms. Resistance is alive in America. Let's figure it out together. You can find this show, as well as other great programming on the Crab Diving Network, that's CRABDIVING, that's www.crabdiving.com, or as a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever and whenever your pleasure. Before we get started, if you need a number to call your representative, here it is, 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And if you would like daily action alerts sent right to your cell phone, text the word DAILY to the number 222-8466, or ACTION. Text the word DAILY to ACTION. Also, I suggest checking out the Baseline Project on Facebook. They also have a website at thebaselineproject.us. Also, Fight Trump on Facebook. Both are excellent resources. Liberal fake news is on the rise since the election. It is fear-mongering, and it is stirring us up more than we already are. Check your sources and recheck. We are at, as I count, 25 executive orders. The Democrats are proving they have guts. The GOP hates puppies. Romania knows resistance. God and the KKK were confirmed to run the country. Women's rights hang in the balance. And on Tuesday, a white congressman told a woman who was reading the First Lady of Civil Rights letter against a white racist to sit down and shut up. He later allowed four white men to read said letter and unashamedly explained.
She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
I don't know if he did this because he was fed up, sloppy, or worse, unafraid. He no longer feels he needs to hide his racist, sexist thoughts and feelings, and worse, his actions. This is the kind of behavior we must now expect, and in a way, welcome. Bear with me here. I had a black gay friend who was moving out of LA and back to the South. When I asked him about the bigotry he would be confronted with and asked him why he would want it, he said in a way it was better. He said that there, people don't try to hide it, and so it's clear who thinks less of him and who didn't. He felt better knowing where he stood. The more of their true nature we see of these gropers, these GOPers, I mean, the less people will be duped by their slick-talking facades. The masks are off, and all their nasty is exposed. I was talking with my close conservative friend during the election, and I tentatively asked him where he stood on everything. This was one of my best friends, and had he said he was supporting Trump, I do not believe it is something I could have gotten over. Instead, he said, "I'm so angry and disappointed. I have spent my life arguing that conservatives are not racist assholes. I really didn't see it," he said. I was wrong. His lifetime conservative girlfriend whispered in my ear, "I'm voting for Hillary." I do not believe all conservatives are racist, but I do believe the interests that run the party are. I do also believe that for the majority, their indifference towards human rights and equality makes them morally negligent or at the very least misguided. I'm happy, however, that the good amongst the conservatives and the indifferent liberals are seeing the old guard for what they are, heinous, fear-mongering, loathsome racist, and most of all, gutless creeps they are. That goes, by the way, for the women, too. They're in the party as well. I'm equal opportunity in all things. Did I mention that the GOP hates puppies, Olbermann?
And Donald Trump, no dog, as Anatole France said, part of his soul unawakened. Look, until 4 years ago last week, I had never had a dog. Allergies as a kid, never at home as an adult, never thought myself mature enough to assume the responsibility. And then it happened, and it didn't change me much. I only got one more dog and got two other dogs from my girlfriend's parents and started working with a rescue shelter for injured and sick dogs and started giving out dog books for Christmas and saw that most of human behavior was easily explained by watching dogs and called all my dog world friends from before I was blessed and asked, why didn't you tell me? And I realized that dogs explain enough of the meaning of life that you don't need to know any of the other possible meanings of life. No biggie. I was just born again. And Donald Trump, no dog, as Anatole France said, part of his soul unawakened. Even so, this was still just philosophy. And then the Trump campaign put out, and almost as quickly pulled back, a proposal to eliminate what it called the FDA food police, citing as one of its supposed government overreaches that it, quote, even dictates the nutritional content of dog food. Well, it does dictate the nutritional content of dog food. It dictates the nutritional content of dog food so the dog food does not kill the dogs. As the Daily Beast reported, in the last year, 11 of the 23 FDA pet food recalls were to remove poisoned pet food from shelves to save dogs' lives. And Donald Trump, who tweets, fired like a dog, cheated on like a dog, begged for money like a dog, and all the other insults as his go-to insult, as if being a dog were somehow a bad thing. Donald Trump has given a hint that if elected, he would protect a businessman's right to poison dogs. Maybe your dogs, maybe mine, maybe any of the other 78 million because, you know, profits. Hey, Don, fuck you. That's the closer. I'm Keith Olbermann. Watch this space.
The Dems of the Senate are finally showing some backbone, which is unlike them. They fought hard in fights they knew they would lose, but gains were made. The people are far more aware of the realities behind these controversial picks due to them. They showed the American people and the world that these picks, the picks that the administration has chosen for their cabinet, are not normal. So it is not simply a talking point for the quote-unquote distrusted media, but as a matter of record, their efforts also further galvanize the people. The harder they fight, the harder we will too. But make no mistake, were it not for those who showed up at their offices, at their town halls, public events, and clogged their phone lines and mailboxes, they would not have fought the way they did. We did that. We effected change. People continue to protest in our streets, city halls, and surround deportation vans. Are you still having doubts that our actions have consequence? Did you hear about Romania this week? Romania's Prime Minister, Victor Ponta, is facing charges of corruption, forgery, money laundering, tax evasion, and conflict of interest. He is not only indicted on some of those, but jailed. I'll let Rachel Maddow explain more.
Pictures over the weekend. This was Romania over the weekend. Look at that. That is not a celebration. Romania only has about 20 million people. A considerable proportion of those 20 million people turned out in the streets to protest against their government this weekend. What's going on there is that the head of the leading political party in Romania, he's banned from being prime minister because he has a corruption conviction and because he's facing trial on another corruption charge. And to deal with that problem, his ruling party last week went into emergency session late at night, and they passed a law that proclaimed that corruption is no longer a crime. Seriously, they basically decriminalized negligence in office, abuse of power, and conflict of interest. They decriminalized corruption. And that night, even though they did it late at night, 10,000 people showed up in the street that night. And then the next night, it was more like 100,000 people. And by last night, by the fifth straight night, it was hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. It took 5 days of these massive demonstrations, and the government caved. They've now announced that they are rescinding their law that made corruption legal. Protest sometimes works. This is Republican Congressman Tom McClintock trying to have a community meeting in his California district this weekend. This is what it looked like, Tom McClintock facing his constituents. This was Lincoln, Nebraska. Constituents unhappy with Republican Senator Deb Fischer demanding that she meet with them and talk about her votes for the Trump cabinet nominees. This was Illinois Republican Congressman Peter Roskam. Look at this crowd that met him at one of his community events this weekend. They're saying, meet with us, meet with us. And then at one point they switched to 2018, 2018. Not so veiled threat. They said, hey, Peter, we vote. Protest works. I mean, not every time, but sometimes protest works.
People continue to protest their government there now, in the snow, in anger and fear over the ruling. This is the resistance, and resistance in all forms is required. I don't know if I mentioned it, but the GOP hates puppies and kittens and horses, apparently. The GOP deleted the USDA's animal abuse database this week, all of it. Because harming puppies and kittens is not beneath them? Luckily, a man named Russ Kick, a blogger who considers himself as a U.S. government Freedom of Information watchdog, had downloaded most of the animal abuse records at one point and has now reposted them. Reposted them to what he calls the memoryhole2.org. That's the memoryhole2.org. It isn't complete, so if anyone happens to have more information from that website in regards to animal abuse, he wants you to send it to him. As Maddow says, if there is something you are good at, do it. We need people of all skill sets in the resistance. So find your passion and act on it. Be creative, be smart, and get focused. Make it fun. Everyone needs to remember that every right we have can be X'd off with the stroke of a pen. So don't get too comfortable with the false promise of traditions and checks and balances. They are proving themselves unafraid to do some of the most astonishing things. They are unafraid to look racist. They are unafraid to abuse puppies and kittens. They have proposed legislation to get rid of public education. They confirmed Betsy DeVos to Education Secretary, who said, I quote, "Our desire is to confront the culture in which we all live today in ways that will continue to help advance God's kingdom." That suffering wall between church and state rots at its core. We can be happy about the court ruling that stayed the Muslim ban. But beyond those fireworks yesterday, the administration signed 3 executive orders granting greater authority to law enforcement, including expanding what crimes are considered federal and increasing the sentences. This during Black History Month. They also confirmed Sessions, who is best described in the letter Elizabeth Warren was barred from reading and in her own act of resistance read on the letter on Facebook Live after McConnell made her sit down and shut up.
Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to express my strong opposition to the nomination of Jefferson Sessions for federal district judgeship for the Southern District of Alabama. My long-standing commitment, which I shared with my husband Martin, to protect and enhance the rights of Black Americans, rights which include equal access to the democratic process, compels me to testify today. Civil rights leaders, including my husband and Albert Turner, have fought long and hard to achieve free and unfettered access to the ballot box. Mr. Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by Black citizens in the district he now seeks to serve as a federal judge. This simply cannot be allowed to happen. Mr. Sessions' conduct as a U.S. attorney, from his politically motivated voting fraud prosecutions to his indifference toward criminal violations of civil rights laws, indicates that he lacks the temperament, fairness, and judgment to be a federal judge. The Voting Rights Act was, and still is, vitally important to the future of democracy in the United States. I was privileged to join Martin and many others.
The letter goes on to say, the irony of Mr. Sessions' nomination is that if confirmed, he'll be given life tenure for doing with a federal prosecution what the local sheriffs accomplished 20 years ago with clubs and cattle prods. 20 years ago, when we marched from Selma to Montgomery, the fear of voting was real as the broken bones and bloodied heads in Selma and Marion bore witness. The end of the letter reads, I do not believe Jefferson Sessions possesses the requisite judgment, competence, and sensitivity to the rights guaranteed by the federal civil rights laws to qualify for appointment to the federal district court. Based on his record, I believe his confirmation would have devastating effect on not only the judicial system in Alabama, but also the progress we have made everywhere towards fulfilling my husband's dream that he envisioned over 20 years ago. I therefore urge the Senate Judiciary Committee to deny his confirmation. The GOP, that voted he was too racist back under the Reagan administration to be a federal judge, made him the U.S. Attorney General this week. These are the people we are fighting. This is the force of hate we are contending with. If not for us, who will step up? I wish to speak to women's rights for a bit. Mitch McConnell's blatant, unapologetic, racist, and sexist oppression of his fellow Senator Elizabeth Warren is a mere drop in the pan next to the flood of legislation Pence and the GOP have promised, designed to roll back women's rights. It's not simply access to birth control that is at risk, but at the risk of being dramatic, with the stroke of a pen, they could take us back to the days when it was illegal. Yes, illegal. Abortion, equal pay, and so on. With the stroke of a pen, we could lose all the rights so many women have fought and bled for. It is no longer about advancing women's rights. It is about maintaining what we have. It is important to understand that the 14th and the 15th Amendments that granted citizenship and the right to vote to African Americans in 1868 and 78 did not include women. We would not get those rights till much later. And while the right to vote is protected under the Constitution, the majority protections for sexual equality are not. They are simply protected by laws, which are, as the current administration has proven, easily undone. We can't take for granted what it took for us to get here and where we are. In the 1870s, a woman was considered property. She had little more rights than slaves. The fight for the right to vote was waged from 1840 until 1920, and the fight was bloody. In 1916, Alice Paul started the National Woman's Party, and 200 supporters were arrested while they picketed the White House. Women were beaten with clubs. They went on hunger strikes and were force-fed. On November 15, 1917, 40 prison guards wielding clubs went on a rampage against 33 women. In 1960, Margaret Sanger led the fight for birth control, which was illegal at the time in many parts of the country. She was arrested many times for writing about it, which was also illegal. The 1960s was the civil rights marches, where many more people were arrested, beaten, and murdered. In 1973, Roe v. Wade. Women stopped dying from abortions, and the struggle, sadly, still continues. I suggest joining the following organizations that will help protect and even advance women. Emily's List, She Should Run, the ACLU, and might as well follow the Women's March. There was a great win in the courts yesterday as they ruled to stay the immigration ban until the Supreme Court rules on its constitutionality. This fight, however, continues. Remember the realities behind it. Already deportations have begun. On Wednesday, a woman, Guadalupe Garcia, mother of two young children, who had been here since she was 14 years old, was deported by ICE. Friends, family, and protesters surrounded the van and would not move overnight. One man even wedged himself in the wheel well. Eventually, their efforts failed, and she was deported. But their efforts brought a national spotlight to the immigrations. Guadalupe put a human face on the sad reality. I just learned that among the 21 executive orders that he has passed since taking office in January 20th is one stipulating that undocumented immigrants convicted of any criminal offense, and even those who have not even been charged, who are believed to have committed, quote, acts of that constitute a chargeable criminal offense, unquote, have become a priority for deportation. Okay, here are some rules of the resistance that my friend posted that I find helpful, though admittedly, I do not strictly adhere to them. 1. Don't use his name. 2. Remember, this is a regime. He is not acting alone. 3. Do not argue with those who support him. It doesn't work. 4. Focus on his policies, not his orangeness or mental state. 5. Keep your message positive. They want the country to be angry and fearful because this is the soil from which their darkest policies will grow. 6. No more helpless, hopeless talk. 7. Support artists and the arts. 8. Be careful not to spread fake news. Check it. Check it, check it, check it. 9. Take care of yourselves. And 10. Resist. Keep demonstrations peaceful. In the words of John Lennon, when it gets down to having to use violence, then you are playing the system's game. The establishment will irritate you, pull your beard, flick your face, try to make you fight because they've got you violent. Then they know how to handle you. The only thing they don't know how to handle is nonviolence and humor. I might add, don't give them the moral high ground. When you post or talk about him, don't assign his actions to him. Assign them to the Republican administration or the Republicans. This will have several effects. Republican legislators will either have to take responsibility for their association with him or stand up for what some of them don't like. He will not get the focus of attention he craves, and Republican representatives will become very concerned about the re-elections. Despair is not an option. Be active, be proactive. I recognize that I'm a little doom and gloom on this episode. I really am trying to be more positive and maybe have a better perspective and be a little more rational. But this week kind of got to me. And I think we do need to have some sort of a perspective on the real world possibilities we are facing. And I hope I'm wrong about all the catastrophic possibilities, and I hope none of them will come true, but I don't know. I had to put it out there, and it has to be said, and it has to be thought about. Take it for what you will. I will leave you with a quotation from Charlie Pierce from Esquire, who is hilarious, by the way. Pretty sure he's a werewolf. The most vital question is how will the Democratic and progressive base activists react to the kind of defeat they had on Tuesday? There are four options, and in the past, the Democratic Party regularly has tried three of them. Intra-party cannibalism, stunned acquiescence, and chronic me-tooism that drives most people crazy. There's a fourth, of course, and that is to continue to throw sand in the gears by any legal means necessary, and if it takes marches to stiffen the backbones of the people in Congress and to teach them that a fight is a good fight, even if you lose it, then that's what the Democratic Party should learn how to do again. There is a moment here, and it will not wait forever.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
As always, resist.
She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Is it that a woman can't climb up a tree? 'Cause she ain't built that way. Why the two of them can never agree? 'Cause they're not built that way. It's true there is no effect without a cause. A woman can never come under a clause. And she never gives a reason for wagging her jaws. 'Cause she ain't built that way.